Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thriving Marriage podcast. I just actually heard earlier today that Heather wouldn't be joining us, so my lovely wife Jennifer graciously accepted being up here on the podcast with me. So thank you for being on here last minute. It's just always easier when I have someone to bounce some ideas off of and whatnot. So this week, as the title says, we're going to be talking about contempt, how to deal with contempt. But before we get to that, I do want to go over a client win of the week. We do actually have a lot of great things that go on with our clients that, and all the work that they do. This week, one of our clients, Jade, graciously allowed us to share her win. She said that, this is what she said. She said, okay, she had a day full of wins. She said, my spouse called. We had an amazing chat filled with love and laughter. And then he told me he was planning to come home next week. If you can get the flights arranged. And before he hung up, he said, I miss you. And she said, I definitely feel like a winner. She said also, thank you to the Thriving team for all the support. It is changing my life. I know I've actually spoken with Jade myself, and so that actually happened. This sounds like a slightly older win, so I know that her husband actually did come home, and they're really working through things. So Jade's been working really hard on stuff like that, so it's always good to see that hard work pay off. So on to the topic for the day, contempt. And what is contempt? Because I feel like I have to explain this because it's not immediately apparent. You might say, okay, you know, we don't have contempt in our relationship. Like my spouse doesn't hate me. They just, you know, there might be something missing. So just to clear it up, it's not simply hate. It's contempt is a persistent negative view of another person. Also, what tends to happen with this in marriage or really any relationship, this often means that there's anticipation of negative actions and a general negative feeling towards their spouse. So even a spouse who is pulling away, saying I love you, but I'm not in love with you, there may be contempt there, even if they're not like directly angry and hateful. Do you have something, or are you just agreeing with?
I'm just agreeing. No? Okay. I think that that's a good way of defining contempt. Just having that negative point of view that it's not going to work out, and they're not going to be there for me, and then maybe rehashing how they weren't there for you in the past.
But we've had some friends too with marriage problems recently, and I wouldn't say that they hate their ex.
No, I think you just go through rough periods where you might be more attuned to negativity because of life situations or lots of stressors. We were talking about that even this morning, how just having extra stressors puts you in this negative frame of mind. And even though you don't necessarily dislike somebody else or have bad feelings towards them, your negative frame of mind might just put you in a place where you're just gonna say, oh, like, you know, they're just gonna pile more stress on me.
Yeah, and yeah. I would still call that contempt, wouldn't you?
Yeah, like you said, persistent though. It's not like just one bad day. It's persistently. Mm-hmm. I think that's the key there, thinking that.
So the question is, how do we recognize this? And initially I was going to have these questions kind of bounce back and forth between Heather and I. So this is a little bit of a different situation, but I'm still gonna ask the question. Do you ever notice negative thoughts about your spouse?
Of course, if we're talking about being a human here,
yeah.
I think it would be like, I've always, when I've heard stories about couples that have you know, been successful and done life well, or even Gottman talking about couples, and successful couples at that, they're gonna have moments of turbulence, and it's how you deal with the turbulence over long, you know, not just like one day, but over a long period that determines success.
I think even yesterday, I wasn't feeling great, and you know, after a long day, I had a headache. I didn't think I'd gotten enough sleep. Mm-hmm. And you and I, we talked last night. Like, I had some negative thoughts. I was like, okay, you know, I'm gonna just admit right now, I don't think I shared this last night, but I was saying earlier in the day, I said, okay, I need some attention from you later mm-hmm. in the day after the kids go to bed. And I actually had this thought. I said, Jen is going to be, she's not going to want to. She's going to be too tired. Mm-hmm. And now, obviously, we spent some time together. You right. really supported right. me. But there was this negative thought, like this anticipation of
the evening going poorly.
Yeah, of the evening yeah. going poorly. And I'm admitting that it was largely due because, you know, when stress piles up and, you know, and I'm not feeling well, it's just so much easier to go in that direction. Mm-hmm. So do you recognize that?
I do. In me? I recognize that in you. Like yesterday when you came down for dinner, I was thinking, okay, you look like you're kind of off. But if I'm in a good place, I know that it's not because of me, even if you're acting kind of grumpy. I'll say, oh, it's probably because of other factors. And then if I go into that frame of mind, then I say, how can I support you? How can I help you turn this around? Like, you look like you're not feeling well. What can I do to be there for you? If I'm in a bad frame of mind, which sometimes happens, you know, you have like a partner that comes home and they've had a hard day and then you've had a hard day and then that matchup isn't so great. I think that's when it becomes the toughest for us, is when we both had really rough days or weeks even. And then it's not like I can clearly see as well as I did last night. I was like, oh, this isn't really about me. Which it usually never is. Mm-hmm. It usually is always about the other person's state.
So I've heard from clients and their spouses, and they say, okay, we shouldn't have things like this. There should be positive feelings. Yeah. So I'm wondering, is this normal? Is this healthy or okay?
I forget who it was, but I think this was about business. And somebody said something really smart about business. They're like, you have to plan for having difficult months.
That was our business.
Right. It was so
Heather smart. And I have a business consultant as a partner. His name's Serge.
I was like, this is good life advice. You have to plan for there to be some turbulence. If you don't have a turbulence plan, you're going to be really, really shocked when you hit some. Because you just, you know, you're going to hit things that are external factors you weren't preparing for, perhaps a pandemic, perhaps having to homeschool the kids all of a sudden, who knows what it is. But you're going to hit turbulence, and how is that going to impact you? Are you going to be able to say, okay, this is probably coming from a lot of places, how I'm feeling? And not just that, I think being able to share with each other where our stress is coming from is helpful for our partner responding well to us. If I say, like, I'm feeling grumpy because I didn't get a lot of sleep and the kids were upset because of XYZ, and then I felt like dinner burns and it just went downhill from there. If I'm able to say that to you, then you're able to be there a little empathic towards me and be like, oh, but if I'm just grumpy and you come downstairs and I'm just grumpy, you might be like, oh, like, are they upset with me? And then you might be on the defense.
So why is this so dangerous then? I think this is an important thing, because Dr. John Gottman, if those of you who are not familiar with him, you know, if you're having marriage trouble, you should be familiar with him. He's a very famous researcher in terms of relationships and marriage. He says that the consistent presence of contempt is one of the best predictors of divorce. He has these four horsemen of divorce, the things that are going to cause divorce, and contempt being the strongest predictor. The other horsemen being criticism, stonewalling, and defensiveness. But the main reason it's so dangerous in a marriage is it's when it's left alone. It causes other problems. It generally starts a downward spiral, because if I start to have these negative views towards my wife and nothing is done about it, and then I keep having these negative thoughts and I keep having these negative thoughts, mm-hmm. it builds on itself. Mm-hmm. It feeds on itself. Like the one negative thought makes it more likely for me to find another negative view of my spouse, and it just causes more contempt. And it will lead to misinterpretations of what are often otherwise really positive actions from each other. Sometimes, even last night, I said, I was telling you, hey, I would really appreciate some attention at the end of the day. And this was, I would consider this was a positive thing. I was letting Jen know that I needed some support from her, but you were also feeling some stress, and you right. shared with me, you're like, okay, this is, what are the expectations from Mark? Is he, you know, what does he want from me?
Yeah.
And, we had to talk about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it leads to potential misinterpretations. This was a small example.
Here's the thing. Sometimes we even misunderstand each other. Like last night, I was like, okay, attention. So I'm going to take away the stressors. So I started taking away the kids and making yeah. sure dinner, but he didn't mean that. He just wanted someone to listen to him and, you know, just be physically close. And I wasn't giving that kind, but we didn't have like the, I wish we were a little more clear with our mm-hmm. expectations. Cause I was like, I did a lot to attend to you, but not necessarily, you didn't actually say, I just need someone to listen. Until this morning, you're like, it was like, I gave him some time where I just listened to him talk about his concerns for like maybe 5-10 minutes. But he said that was the most helpful thing I did. Not the dinner, not the kids, not the taking away the stressors, but that wasn't communicated till later. so we don't always know exactly what is needed in the moment. And I think communication is probably a key to easing contempt.
Yeah, the whole point here is that, you know, some negative views make it really easy to misinterpret other actions. And so I had to catch myself in the moment and say, okay, Jen is actually helping me out. She's trying to support me. It might not be in the way that I'm looking for it. And I had to catch myself mm-hmm. saying, you know, because I was stressed, because I wasn't feeling well, saying, okay, Jen doesn't want to support me. But these are the sort of things that, I mean, this is obviously not a huge problem between Jen and I, but we can see how something like this can escalate into something bigger.
Yeah.
And snowball.
Like what if it went on for months?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Like if I didn't clear that up, if I kept looking for a specific
type of care and not receiving it.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm feeling like I'm giving out a lot of care. What are you saying? I don't care, or I'm not trying. I could see how that could. So we always clear the air, you know. Sometimes you have to wait till the next day to clear the air to be like, oh, like what was that about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because in the moment it might be hard to talk about why.
So Jen and I are able to clear this up. This is one of our superpowers, is we're able to do this well. So I want your opinion here. Why haven't these potential negative situations, why haven't they led to a more negative pattern? Why hasn't it led to a persistent view or contempt in our marriage?
Well, I think our personalities might be part of the reason we're good at that. Like, I think we're both good at interpreting things with a positive spin, usually. Mm-hmm. Or like, if we get out of sorts, we're pretty good at, like, righting ourselves, like, recalibrating after we've been wonky a little bit. Like, I think we both have generally a positive outlook.
Well, I mean, having a good personality is all
no, I mean,
but not everyone's
I mean, like,
going to have
we
that.
We struggle with other areas, obviously, but, mm-hmm. like, that one, I can see that being a strength of both of us, just being like, OK, okay, I'm trying to look for the best in the situation or the best in others, which makes you really good as a marriage coach. You can see that. You can see multiple perspectives as your personality strength. So everybody has personality strengths like that could help them ease contempt, mm-hmm. that could help them get through rough patches. And everyone's personality strengths are going to be different. Like, but I think that's one of ours, is just being able to be a little bit more.
We're aware. And we catch ourselves.
And that's something that I don't think it was initially a strength of mine, being aware. I think that's new in the past 5-10 years, being more aware of what's going on around me, that's influencing how I feel.
So part of it is being aware and catching yourself.
Yeah.
I think another piece of this also, you know, I'm thinking of other ideas from Dr. Gottman. He talks about there's the idea of the magic ratio, you know, the 5-to-1 positive to negative interactions. I think what often happens here is when there are more negative interactions, it's easier to anticipate further negative interactions.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, I mean, like, are the negative interactions that we had last night, that's more of an exception rather than the rule.
Right. I think that helps you have the perspective you need. If you start building up some of that good credit with each other, that, hey, you know, most days, you can even say, that's how I'm aware a little bit. I say, oh, most days the evenings go pretty smoothly. Most days, so like I'm keeping that kind of open mind that, hey, this is more of like an off moment rather than the way it always is.
Well, this ties into some of what we teach here with the High Thrive Coaching. We talk about the narrative or the story. And I think that's one of the things that we really have a conscious effort about fostering, is a much more positive explanation or a positive story about what's going on between mm-hmm. the two of us. So if we say, okay, we had a disagreement or we had some negative feelings towards each other last night, we have this persistent story that says, we are a great couple. We do well. We can talk to each other. We want, you know, like I tell myself, Jen wants to support me if I need some support. And so I have this persistent story going on, so that when something negative happens, it's the exception rather than the rule. So I look for an explanation. I say, okay, if I know that Jen is generally supportive, but she's not being supportive right now, what is the reason? It must be something explainable here. It must be something that's not really all that terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I think that plays a huge factor.
Right.
And
right.
There's some amount of resilience there because of that.
I think so. And you can change the story whenever you want. Mm-hmm. You can start... I mean, like, you obviously don't want to like lie about the situation, because we've been in really difficult moments before. When you're like, okay, well, what can I say that's going well right now? Let's make that kind of in forefront of my mind. Let's build upon that. Like, let's take those building blocks that are actually kind of good. Like, perhaps it's, hey, we're really good parents. Mm-hmm. Or we really know how to have fun together. So you just like build on the things that are already kind of going well to kind of work through the more difficult areas and build up that positive regard, positive.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that we've gone through some rough times. That was the next question. Has there been a point where there have been a lot of negative thoughts, you know, where the negative views were a little bit more prevalent? And
can
you think about that time? Let's get an example. And I want to talk about maybe what we did to turn that situation around.
We could
thinking back to like
several.
When
you know, everybody has crises. We had the one where our baby was in the NICU, and for 5 weeks we didn't know what the outcome would be, and that was super
well difficult. I'm looking at more like situations where we started having
us to have negative views of each other. Like, why aren't you at the hospital? Why aren't you more supportive?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why am I doing everything? Or like, why aren't you more emotionally connected to the child? Like, you know, I could see how it could go either way almost in those moments where it was super difficult, you know, but we were able to make it through that,
mm-hmm.
You know, or going through some depression even. Yeah. I think both of us have been through times of depression. Like mine happened to be like after the hospital when Ezra came home on a heart monitor. And yeah.
So to add, to explain for context, our last child, our fifth child, when he was born, his heart kept stopping randomly. And so he was in the NICU for a while and came home with a heart monitor. We'd have to shake him a little bit to make sure, you know, when his heart would stop.
Actually.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a rough time. That went on. We weren't able to sleep for like a good 4 months.
Oh, it's so bad. It was so bad. And it put us in this frame of mind where like we were pushed beyond our limits. Mm-hmm. Especially, I mean, like Mark could go to work and have some normalcy, but I felt like my whole world was not normal anymore. And I felt depressed. And
so yeah. What turned that around? Now, obviously, the health condition of our son, he got better. So, I mean, that stress was removed. But
yeah,
we had some clashes.
Right.
What helped us get through that, and what turned it around, do you think?
I think that we don't let our contempt breed for very long. Mm-hmm. So if we are having like even a week that's bad, like I think there's probably some bad weeks during that time, we would talk about it. Be like, hey, I need to tell you how I'm feeling right now.
Mm-hmm. And so even in those moments, we didn't let it sit. We recognized that we were having some negative views about our spouse and we addressed it.
Yeah.
And I think even when a couple is coming apart, there's still some ability to do that. Right? Mm-hmm. Because there's still some expectation of some amount of connection or some basic expectation for things like respect or communication or some courtesy. And I think it's important to both address your own negative feelings and to address those of your spouse.
Right. I think another thing that served us well during those really rough months and other times, not just that one, but was having the outlook of this won't last forever.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I think that helped me pull out of the spiral. Like somehow this will even difficult things could be made normal. Like, cause we're humans are resilient, even difficult things we can kind of figure out how to be normal within our situation and as healthy as we can. So I saw us figuring it out in my mind's eye. We'll figure this out, even if I feel lost now.
Mm-hmm. And this is, a lot of this sort of thing, essentially what turned it around is we were consistent with catching these moments and actually talking through it and resolving it. We had some consideration of what was going on between the two of us. Now, if you're not necessarily getting that from your spouse, I suppose even if you are able to offer that to them, mm-hmm. I think that would really have a huge impact. If you are able to notice when they are feeling negative and you're able to bring that up and talk about it a little bit and try to resolve that concern. Now, we're not going into terrible, terrible amount of detail about tips and other things. It's just we don't have time for that today. But there's certainly a lot of things that can be done in those conversations that could make it easier to address these mm-hmm. problems, especially when contempt has set in.
And I would say that once you've had some difficult conversations, perhaps around your hot spots, whatever those may be, and everybody has them, who knows what they are, but once you've had those difficult conversations enough, and then you've kind of done them better and better and better, it becomes easier to have those conversations and turn it around.
Yeah.
And you might bungle through it a few times, you know, when you're first starting to have those and bringing up things that you normally wouldn't. Mm-hmm. But
of course, I mean, if any of you are needing extra help with those sort of things, being able to address problems in your relationship or being able to have those conversations, that's exactly what we have services for. So if you do need some support, you can put it in the comments or perhaps even message me directly. Now I'm going to say message me, but sometimes I'm going to admit that my assistant might be the one answering, but certainly it's one way to
it gets back to you. You do respond.
Yeah, it's one way to get some support or to get access perhaps to some services. Now, looking at this, I think that's all, you know, we're going to have to wrap this up in terms of contempt, and then we're going to get into our marriage mythbuster. But do you have any last thoughts, last comments on dealing with contempt or dealing turning it around?
Okay. I was thinking an area that's hard for me but does help with contempt is just checking in with even, am I taking care of myself? Am I giving myself patience? Am I giving myself some consideration during a difficult moment? Like instead of expecting maybe someone else to fill in that for me all the time, like whatever's missing, like have I tried to fill my own void a little bit? So I don't push that responsibility on other people to necessarily create my happiness or peace in a situation. So I think a lot of times having that awareness has been helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And I will admit that I don't always do that well, but I think that does help ease contempt.
No, absolutely.
Caring for yourself and being like, what do I need so I'm in a good place?
No, absolutely. Like we were just talking about how stress really can ramp up some of those feelings. Any sort of stressors, whether you're dealing with long work days or lack of sleep, or you're stressed because you're having fights with your spouse, you know, it all builds onto itself. And so having, you know, taking some time to think about whether your basic needs are being met or whether you are able to feel, you know, just take a step back from things and take care of yourself a little bit, I think that can remove a lot. And, you know, being able to give that same to your spouse can potentially remove a lot of stress. Now, I will say one more time, if you need extra advice on contempt specifically, certainly we have services, but this is also the topic of this month's in-depth training on our Marriage Mastery course. The Marriage Mastery course, we do a monthly in-depth training, you know, with lots of tips, lots of specific advice, and, you know, typically a list of questions to review and assignments to deal with that specific problem. So if you're needing more advice on this topic specifically, that's, you're going to want to go to our website. It's www.highthrivecoaching.com. Now, for our marriage mythbuster, this week, the myth is, if my spouse wants a divorce, I should remind them of our marriage vows and push them to work on the marriage with me. And we can replace marriage vows with, you know, a reminder of that we have children, mm-hmm. or a reminder that they've made promises, or any of the other things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna just ask you a question: does that work?
They're probably having guilt, so pushing even more guilt might actually be really uncomfortable and might wake them one day.
To a certain extent, it does work for a time. But not. Ultimately, no. And this is, I think, the difference between two types of commitment.
Yeah.
And have I talked to you about this before? This is about structural commitment and emotional commitment. Structural commitment being all the things outside of the marriage that bind the two people together. So things like marriage vows, the fact that you have children,
mm-hmm.
the fact that you might have a lot of time together, the financial ties, you know, all the things that are not exactly part of your specific relationship with each other, but are more structural things that keep the two of you bound together. Those actually serve a really good purpose, right? So having some of these structural commitments make it easier to get through some times when you have less emotional commitment. So let's say for a good solid several weeks, we, you know, maybe even 6 months, we just really don't like each other. The fact that we have children together and that we're married, mm-hmm. probably would keep us together, at least
right.
for that time.
If you're thinking about a couple that doesn't have those commitments. It's easier.
It's easier for them to, easier for them to say, well, I can step away.
Yeah, I don't have the same investment.
We're looking at new relationships, let's say, you know, under a few years, or relationships where they've just been living together for some time, or they don't have children. None in all those cases, there's not as much tie to be together. And so if you go for longer periods without that emotional commitment, the fewer structural commitments you have, the more likely there is to be a breakup. And so it is, you know, all these things really do help, but emotional commitment is actually the commitment that comes about because you want to be together. It comes from those feelings of love and romance and connection. It comes from relationships meeting basic emotional needs on a regular basis, needs to feel safe and secure and respected and wanted and accepted and all those good things. It comes from being happy in the relationship. And that's actually the piece that's needed to keep you in a marriage long term. And so the reason why reminding your spouse of marital vows, why that might not work when divorce is mentioned, it's because the emotion, it's already gotten to that point where those structural commitments aren't really holding weight anymore. The emotional commitments have been gone long enough that those kind of more structured ties don't hold the same weight. And it's especially true if contempt has begun to set in your relationship. So this is why, like, reminding your children or your spouse that you have children. Why can't we work on this for the children? Why you made promises to be with me forever? You know, you can't really lean on those. You can't lean on them really at all if your spouse is starting to say they want a divorce. So really the path forward on something like that is to focus in on rebuilding those emotional commitments. That needs to be much more the focus than on, well, why won't he work on it? We have children. Can't they see how much damage it's doing to the children?
Mm-hmm.
We've had friends in recent years that have gone through lots of marriage struggles, and I believe those arguments have come up in our, when they've talked to us about it. Like, don't they see, you know, shouldn't they want to do something different? We have children together, and what ended up happening is things didn't work out. So we can see it just practically doesn't work. So if you're needing help rebuilding those emotional commitments, that's what we're here for. So next week, we're going to go into a Q&A period for our most common questions that you've submitted to us in our Thriving Marriage Facebook group. Jen and I are going to be out. We're going on vacation. Yeah. So it's just going to be Heather going over some of those things. I believe is the topic. So before we get going, any last thoughts?
No, but this is very, like you said, was the greatest indicator of divorce.
Yes.
So it's very important to think about how you could start turning that around, even small ways. Yeah, and building up that emotional commitment, like you mentioned. Yeah. So.
All right. Well. Thank you all for listening, and like I said, stay tuned. Tune in next week for the Q&A. So have a good day, everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.